How long will spring last this year before mud, cold, and fog transition to warm, verdant days? Welcome to The Nature of Phenology, where we share the cycles and seasons of the outdoors. I'm your host, Hazel Stark, and this episode was written by Joe Horn. One of my favorite springtime activities is fishing for rainbow smelts. Now, smelting season is still a way off, but I can feel the anticipation building. I'm typically an early-to-bed, early-to-rise sort, so there is something so unique, peaceful, and special these nights. Standing quietly with only the passing light of the moon dancing with the clouds to illuminate the muddy banks of the tidal creek, as I wait patiently for schools of fish to make their way to the head of the tide. After a period of waiting, I'll flip my headlamp on to its lowest setting, searching for the slight gray silhouette of smelt eyes aglow in the thin silvery light. I'll plunge my dip net towards them, trying to match the speed and precision of a great blue heron, though inevitably only matching the agility of an ape attempting to use a makeshift tool for a particular end. In this case, thanks to a stocking mishap at my local marine store, my smelt net has a much smaller mesh size, making it slow and clumsy as it strains even the smallest particulates out of the muddy water, and making it easy for the smelts to slip away. And so often, my net comes up appearing empty, but upon closer inspection, I see the almost invisible squiggly outline of today's feature writhing against the teal mesh, the American eel. Our eels have a very unusual life cycle, which makes it particularly challenging to assess their population and regulate them as a fishery. American eels are one of few fish in our waters that are catadromous, meaning that they spawn and hatch out in the ocean only to return to fresh water while they are still very young to grow to adulthood. Their life begins as an egg in the Sargasso Sea, a stretch of the Atlantic Ocean that is capped with a vast floating raft of seaweeds. They hatch out as nearly microscopic, willow leaf-shaped larvae that drift almost helplessly on the ocean currents. After a short while, they catch a ride on the Gulf Stream and drift all the way up the Atlantic seaboard. As the larval eels mature, they take up their more eel-like body form and become what's known as glass eels. Meanwhile, they peel away from the ocean currents and make their way into freshwater rivers, streams, and lakes, where they will mature to adulthood for upwards of 25 years before returning to the ocean to spawn. It should be noted that no adult eels have ever been seen in the Sargasso Sea, in migration, or mating in the wild. The location of their spawning grounds has been inferred by the location and size of larval eels drifting on the ocean. Eels have historically been an important food source and economic resource for as long as humans have been in North America. Mostly, this has been in the form of harvesting mature adult eels, making their way out to the ocean in the fall, but more recently, a greater emphasis has been placed on harvesting glass eels and slightly larger elvers, which are baby eels that have just begun to show some pigmentation as they ascend our tidal rivers. These eels are primarily shipped to Asia, where they are raised to adult size in aquaculture facilities. This demand has spiked in the last decade due to three compounding variables. First, the Japanese eel fishery was destroyed by the 2011 tsunami. Second, right around the same time, the European eel fishery that supplied the Asian market was shut down across the continent. And third, North American eel populations crashed for a variety of reasons, meaning elver harvesting was halted in all states except Maine and South Carolina, though South Carolina's harvest is minimal. This maelstrom of high demand with low supply means elvers sold for over $2,000 per pound in 2023, making the relatively small fishery in Maine only exceeded in value by lobsters. Given that all eels are harvested before they spawn, and adults die after spawning, some environmental groups have raised deep concerns about American eel populations. In the St. Lawrence River alone, they are seeing a three orders of magnitude decline in population. This has caused the International Union for Conservation of Nature to redlist the species and rank it as endangered. While important, this ranking isn't enforceable, and despite the listing, U.S. Fish and Wildlife ruled in 2011 that the population is stable, and so the eel fishery has remained open. So this weekend, while it can be hard to actually see the elvers firsthand, you could go down to your local tidal river in search of evidence of commercial elver fishing. Most often, you can find their vast fyke nets stretch out across streams right near the heads of tide. You can download this episode and find a link to the transcript, photos, information about podcasting, and more by visiting archives.weru.org. Thanks for listening, and please join us next week for another dive into the nature of phenology.